Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Our guest today is James Fisher, forestry manager for the 172,000-acre Trinchera Ranch. James, welcome to our studio on the south side of Alamosa. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm doing well today. And yourself?
We're doing good. The weather looks warm early in the week, and so we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into all the work you do on the Trinchera. You know, and the work you do in managing the forest of the Trinchera Ranch is built around adaptability, adapting to the climate and the conditions you're seeing. If you can explain that to us and explain that adaptability of your forestry management process.
Okay. The adaptability that we're using on the Trinchera, I mean, we're looking at, everybody is well aware, the climate's changing. So we have to be proactive on that, looking ahead, you know, short-term weather patterns and even longer-term stuff that's been modeled. So I'm looking at that and then the health of the timber right now, and what's that going to look like in the future? And how do we plan to what this is going to look like, you know, 100 years from now? None of us really know. We're basing this all on modeling. But right now I've got to work with a couple years out this year and how I'm going to manage that. So there may be in certain areas I'm going to do different treatments, more fuels reduction work in certain areas when it's drier, kind of like I'm seeing coming this year. Hopefully that'll change. Other years, that's not a big issue, so I can emphasize more on insect and disease issues. I mean, and to keep this straight, it isn't like I'm turning on and off. I'm doing both simultaneously. It's just how I coordinate and pick the areas we're going to work on those years. So instead of working all the high country, if it's wet, we're going to stay in the lower country, you know, and get that treated in those drier years.
How does your modeling tell you or show you where you want to focus with your forestry or which parts of the ranch that you're working? How does that modeling do that?
Okay, so when I say modeling, what I'm looking at is what other research is out there on climate stuff. So I'm taking their data and sifting through that, reading different articles, research papers. And then what really drives all of our management is our long-term forest management plan that we updated the old plan that was built back in the early 90s. About 2015, we implemented our new management plan because of these changes to deal with insect and disease issues such as spruce beetle, spruce budworm, some mountain pine beetle, and other, there's a myriad of other little issues going on, but those are the big ones that the old management plan addressed, but vaguely, because it wasn't an issue then. The climate was a little wetter, the things were different when that was built. So now we had to update that, and that management plan is what drives the year-to-year activity. We have areas planned ahead out 5 years of where we're going to do the work. Now, within that five-year plan, there's flexibility in the management plan that I can move around if there's a insect and disease issue, fire issues, like we had the 2018 spring fire. We had to go in and salvage that, so that changed some of my management plans. So I'm not actually modeling,
right,
but I'm looking at that and tying that back to our management plan and long-term management goals on
right.
the ranch.
When you think about the years you've been doing forestry work, and you've been in other forests besides Trinchera, you've been in
yes.
Trinchera quite a while lately, but when you think through the years, what's changed on how forests are managed or how they should be managed, and how do you apply that to the Trinchera?
The biggest thing that I've seen in my professional career, starting in the early 90s, that was a time of our forests, you know, logging was bad from the spotted owls, kind of what drove that. That was the environmental movement at the time that did put a major hurt on the timber industry and forestry. And so going in, you know, it was worried about, and I don't know, worried's not the right word, more aware of management practices and how people are going to perceive the end result on the landscape, because that's ultimately where this, everybody can see it. There's nothing to hide when you're a forester. So it seems over the 28 years now,
mm-hmm.
It seems like the public perception of forestry and doing treatment has shifted towards a more positive attitude. We still have a ways to go, but it's not as negative. When I first started, you couldn't really talk about it. Today, people are more interested, they're more aware, and educationally aware. They understand what's going on and something needs to be done.
Why do you think that is? Because I think you're right that there does seem to be people trying to understand forestry management, what happens in the high country and how you manage forests. And I don't know if that's because of concerns around wildfire or people experiencing wildfire. I don't know if that's because people are understanding or seeing climate change or seeing drought or seeing dry periods. Why do you think that people are more receptive or that they are paying more attention to how our forests are managed?
I think you hit on it. Fire is probably the biggest thing that's really stood out in that time frame. And again, in my professional career, we went from small fires to now these mega fires. And, you know, they're all across the West and basically across the globe, even though we don't hear about all of these all the time. That wasn't a big thing when I first started in forestry and doing wildland fire. I mean, a big fire back then might be 10,000 acres. You know, now we're talking 500,000 acres that goes on for months. So that, I think, media has also helped, because it's out there in different formats today on social media and all the different platforms that we didn't have 25 years or 30 years ago. I mean, it was the big networks or PBS, those types of media. So you're more able to go and research. You can Google stuff, and people are way more engaged, and they get curious about it, you know, in a good way, and they want to learn more and become more aware of what's going on. The other thing is, of course, here in the West, all our insect and disease issue, the beetle problems we've had, that's raised a lot of, you know, concerns, and people have come aware of that.
When I'm driving 160 and I'm coming past Blanca, coming into Blanca, and I look up towards Blanca Peak and I think of the Trinchera Ranch that's up there, I think about that forest and I think of the Trinchera, and there's so much acres, 172,000, 90,000 new timber, it's hard to get a comprehension or an understanding of how big that is and how you and your team manage that, because that's a lot of acreage, and it's hard to get your mind around how you do manage all of that. Can you give us some explanation or understanding of how you go to work each day and how you look at that huge area and then attack it?
Well, I've got one benefit being there for so long, so I know the ground. But beyond that is we've got a really good team at the ranch, from the general manager, our environmental manager, and with our educational outreach person. We're working together on a daily basis. And I mean, kind of how we're planning this, I come in on a Monday morning, we just had a meeting today. What are you doing? You know, they ask where I'm at, what's my plans for the week? Same thing with our environmental manager. You know, that person's dealing with grazing, water issues, those types of things. And all of these tie together. So we've got to work close, and there's certain objectives that I have that maybe they don't, so we can sit there and we can talk and discuss these things and go, and there's trade-offs in it, which is good because we're all working together, so that helps, and there's things they see that I may not, or so that helps me in, you know, daily planning, long-term planning.
So you game plan a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of game plan, and it's always changing. And we're flexible. That's the key in dealing with natural resources. You have to be flexible because there's so many different things coming at you every day and throughout the year. You know, you got fire, you got bugs, drought, rain events. Gosh, what else? I mean, that's just to name a few.
Yeah.
So you're always, you got to be flexible in this and adaptive because everything is changing all the time. You know, what we say today may not work in 3 months. weather patterns could totally change. You know, right now we're dry, at least on our side. We don't have the snowpack. So I'm thinking right now, and all of us are kind of going, okay, this is looking like 18. It's a little better, not much. We better be ready if we have a lightning strike or there's somebody starts a fire outside the ranch, it comes on to us. How are we going to tackle that? We need to be thinking on that aspect.
Hey, we're talking to James Fisher. He's the forestry manager for the Trinchera Ranch. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod. Here's a great way to support the veterans of the San Luis Valley. The Committee for the Alamos Veterans Memorial Park Project is working to raise $400,000. To support their work, you can call Janet Yon at 719-588-0484. The committee also maintains a Facebook page. Search Alamos Veterans Memorial Park Project on Facebook and stay up to date. San Luis Valley has an estimated 4,800 veterans, or about 10% of the valley's population. The Alamos Veterans Memorial Park Project. Give today.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod, and we're talking to James Fisher on the Trinchera Ranch. And James, you said something one time to me that stuck with me, and you said that the work you do, the forestry management, that this is a long-term process, and that we're only here for just a short period of time. And I wonder what you mean by that.
What I mean by that, what we're doing today as humans, I mean, our lifespan, what are we looking? Mid-80s now is the average lifespan. That's 80 years on a time frame we can't even comprehend, because when you look at forest, we're talking 300 to 500 years is, you know, from the time the seed germinates till the time the tree finally dies and is gone and the new forest comes. So 300 years, that's a number of generations. So I've got to think ahead, i.e. for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, what are they going to see? And how different is it going to be? Because everything in nature changes whether we like it or not. Change is just, it's a given. And as humans, we don't like change. I mean, I don't like it. But so I'm looking at that going, okay, how can I leave this better than when I found it? And again, better in my mind could be different than others, but I'm a healthy vibrant forest is what I'm trying to leave for the future generations, and a seed source so we don't lose that on the ground. And where I can tie that back is the larger wildfires we're seeing, where there's miles upon miles of no timber left. Everything has been nuked by the fire intensity. And I'm trying to open up the forest. So yeah, the fire's going to come. I'm not going to get away from that. And the insects are going to come. But can I leave that valuable seed source for future forest so they can germinate and, you know, build upon that? And what does this look like? I don't know. I hope that in the future what I've done is somebody goes, you know, that was pretty good. They were forward thinking, or, you know, only time will tell. But it's what I see today and you see as you drive past the ranch. Imagine in 100 years how different that's going to look.
When you think of your, when I'm thinking of your forestry management plan and your adaptability there, and I'm starting to think about wildfires, because we hear a lot of concerns. As dry as we are, there's concern about wildfire, and there's concern going into this spring and summer about wildfire, right?
Right.
So when you think about that, how do you manage that forest, understanding the idea or potential or possibility of forestry fire? What goes into your work so that if there is a fire, you've mitigated as best you can how that fire spreads?
What I'm, and again, I'm keeping this basic. I mean, I'm looking at, say, that stand, that 50 acres I'm going to treat, and that's just a ballpark acreage figure. But I look at that and I go, okay, based on species and how fire reacts in that, and that's based on my wildfire background, I'm looking at that, and I'm going, okay, we've got to reduce the number of trees per acre. We've got to open up that forest, break those crowns, so when the fire comes, it's my objective is to keep that fire on the ground the best I can through my treatment processes, so it's not getting in the crown, and we have crown fires raging through there. So if it stays on the ground, then it becomes a lot more accessible for personnel to go in there and slow that fire down, and hopefully it may run out of fuel.
You had said earlier in this conversation too that you're thinking back to 2018, how dry it is. When you see conditions today, February going into March, what are the conditions on the Trinchera going into spring? And does any of that concern you or worry you?
I'm going to say yes right now. Based on our snowpack, the north side, the Blanca side's in better shape than the Trinchera. It's just, we're at about average snowpack, but it's a drier snowpack. And based on, if it's going to stay warm, that's going to melt off early. Hopefully we have some spring moisture to get the green up really going, so that slows that fire potential through June. I mean, from now till about the end of June, 4th of July, hopefully we've got enough moisture, things aren't an issue, but that's my concern right now. And then hopefully the monsoons come in and we start to get that moisture mid-July, and then our fire potential drops off. So I'm looking at that and doing, like right now, we're really hitting our boundaries and trying to improve the fuel breaks that we do have and create new ones. So there's not only for us that we're protecting us, but then our neighbors on the other side of the fence.
So it sounds like a lot of proactive management that happens day to day, and that you're thinking ahead, trying to anticipate what's coming or what's not coming when it comes to moisture. There was a move that Louis Bacon, the owner of Trinchera Ranch, made a few years back, 2017, 2018, that created the Blanca Forestry Products.
Yes.
A mill down in Blanca before you come into town. What did that do to your forestry management process as that mill came online? And how much timber are you sending typically to that mill around Blanca?
The main emphasis behind that mill, we had looked for at least a decade before that, we being the ranch in Lewis, at how can we offset our cost of management on the ground and get more acres treated, because we were falling further and further behind, especially in the insect and disease issue, the spruce beetle and the budworm. We could treat, but where do we go with this material? It went to the local mills here. Their capacity, they could only take so much. They had other operators bringing into them. So it's a balancing act for them, and yet we've got to get more acres treated. So that led to going with a sawmill. We had looked at other options throughout that, all types of biomass, fuel, pellets, all of those things.
How busy do you keep that sawmill year-round? Are you managing the forest year-round these days because of the lack of snow, or what is your access to that mill year-round or during heavy seasons, and how much timber are you bringing into it?
I mean, the nice thing about the Trinchera is we can basically, as things dry out at the lower elevations, we can follow that snow line back up as the forest dries out and work basically year-round. As the snow gets too deep, we can move back down. So we're doing this without doing damage. We're not having to push to get timber to the mill. The other thing in this that drives a lot of this management that I should touch on is we're a certified forest through the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. So that's a fairly stringent organization to belong to. So that is another party that's looking at what's going on the ranch. So we have somebody else, a third party, that says they come in yearly, they audit us, we're following all of these procedures. So that helps us there. And that also came in one of the things with the sawmill to make sure that there was somebody else overseeing what was going on. So with that, in my management end and what we're taking into the mill, we're moving about, last year was down a little bit. We were just in lower quality timber because of the snowpack. It was wet, so we had to stay down low.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 7.5 million. And the year before that, we were at 9 million. So we're going to be somewhere around 8 million board feet a year going into the mill.
We're talking to James Fisher on the Trinchera Ranch, and I thought that meal was a genius stroke to bring that online. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
AlamosaCitizen.com is the digital news source for the San Luis Valley. We are guided by the idea that citizenship matters to the individual and to their community. Unlike many other sites, the Citizen makes its content available to everyone, regardless of what they can afford to pay. We do this because we believe informed citizens create better communities. If you like what you've seen and heard so far, please become an AlamosaCitizen.com member. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. Your membership makes our reporting possible and keeps it free for all to access. But whether or not you can donate, we're honored to be at your service. It's our mission to keep the San Luis Valley informed and engaged. Thank you for trusting us to do that. To become a member, go to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit Become a Member and give what you can. We appreciate it.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're really, it's an interesting conversation with James Fisher talking about the Trinchera Ranch and how the forestry management works there. And we were talking about the sawmill in Blanca that Blanca Forestry Products owns and runs. And I wonder where all that lumber, where all that timber goes. How much of it ends up in commercial markets? How much of it ends up in, I know there's other ways that even residents of the valley or of Costilla County can access some of that. Where does that timber end up?
Well, I mean, the actual end product, the 2x material, 2x6s, 2x8s, all of that, it goes basically across the United States. The biggest market for it right now is still Albuquerque. That market is probably where the most goes. Other than that, again, it's gone east to Minnesota, Louisiana, to California. So it's kind of wherever, because it's all, it's a commodity. We've got a broker that handles those sales for the mill. So wherever they can get the best price, then that's where the material goes. You brought up a thing about Valley residents and Costilla County in particular. There is some of that material is turned into firewood. That's another nice thing about the sawmill. We've improved our utilization on that smaller diameter, which everybody has a problem getting rid of. That waste product goes in, is turned into commercial firewood. It can also be purchased at, individuals can go to the sawmill, purchase bulk firewood there. And then the waste product, some of it goes to the Front Range for playground mulch. The others is turned into mulch like you buy at Walmart, you know, the colored bark. Locally here in the valley, there's pellets made out of it. There's compost. It's composted. That's a big operation. Some to dairies, the sawdust, shavings, those types of things.
That mill then has become more than just a business. It's become a benefit, it sounds like, for Valley residents who can get timber from there. It's created a variety of jobs. I know as much timber comes in there, it keeps it pretty busy.
Right.
It seems like it's become a pretty interesting and pretty significant asset to your operation and to the valley as a whole.
Exactly. I mean, the jobs that it's created and all of the small benefits that are out there. And the other thing, not only is it taking our, you know, from Trinchera, our saw logs, but from the surrounding area. That was the other idea in this, is also with helping out state and federal agencies where to go with this timber. So there's sales that come in. There's like three other outside contractors that are bringing logs in throughout the year. So that helps them.
You know, we're talking about private lands on the Trinchera that you manage as the forestry manager. And what I wonder is, are U.S. forests, are they managed similarly? The way you do it, are there lessons for others that can be taken away? How does that whole profession of forestry management work as you guys do your work, whether it's on private lands or public? And how do you work together, or do you, to pass along best practices, what you do? Does any of that occur?
Yes, to those. As foresters, you know, whether you're private, state, federal, It's all of us working together in different aspects. And again, there's meetings and organizations like the Society of American Foresters, which I belong to. Those meetings is where we get together and exchange ideas and things. Also, that on the Trinchera for state agencies and federal agencies and our partners, they can come and see what we're doing. And they're always interested because we at the ranch are trying to stay cutting edge of this stuff so they can come and see what's going on. And then again, I can go look at their stuff and we go back and forth. Hey, this worked, or no, that doesn't work. And it's being open and going and seeing and just having conversations with other managers.
You know, I think when I think about your work in your outdoors and you're on that beautiful piece of land and you get these amazing views, you get to interact with wildlife, it sounds like a great job. But then I think about the stress and the pressure. Because if you're not managing that forest correctly in the proactive way that you've described, there's consequences to that. Watersheds, fires. Do you think about it that way in terms of the pressure on you managing those lands and everything around it?
Oh, most definitely I do. It's like I feel good every day about what I'm doing and I love my job. But there are those things like you brought up, you know, it's the watershed, because that's how I'm trying to look at this, because there's downstream water users from us. So I've got to make sure that I'm not affecting the quality or quantity of water that's going down. And hopefully I'm increasing that quantity in these drier, you know, climate issues we're having. So I'm thinking of that. And then it's like, sometimes it does become overwhelming when you think, okay, there's 90,000 acres and I've been doing this for 20 some odd years. And it's like, well, I can see an impact, but my gosh, I've got, you know, another 45,000 acres. And based on the time, it's like, you know, if I stay maybe till I'm, you know, mid 70s, I might get all the way through it. But yeah, it's ongoing. And I always think of those things and fires. It's like, man, I need to get over here and treat that, so we've got a chance or we can help the neighbor. And, yeah, you know, am I going to get to it? So, yeah, there is that stress of it. But other than that, no, it's a great job. It's a great place to work, great people.
When you think of the rest of the year, you know, and we're looking like we might get into the 60s this week, the short-term forecast over the next 3 months look a lot of the same, a lot of dry. And we see that across the valley. What are your concerns going into the spring and summer months of 2022?
My concerns, if we don't start getting our spring, you know, March, April, May snow, the snowpack's going to recede, things are going to start drying out, the potential for early fire, you know, somebody out burning rubbish, a ditch, whatever, even on us, something getting away earlier than expected, dealing with those things, and then that drought cycle, it's like, we get one good year, then it's a dry year again, and I'm like, this insect and disease, it doesn't help that situation, so there's more timber dying. How do I stay ahead of that? Those are all the things I'm looking at, and then also we're looking at, you know, what's the water on the ranch and how that's going to impact us there.
Well, we wish you luck going into the spring and summer months. We know the work that you do is critical and vital, not just to the Trinchera, but to the watersheds, to the valley ecosystem as a whole. This has been the Valley Pod, part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. The Valley Pod is produced by Angel Rodriguez. We'll see you around the valley.